Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com.
Been in a message in a series on tuning in and hearing the voice of God, and I just wanted to continue on that this morning and just. But before I get started, I want to read one scripture to you, just to let you know where I'm at with in my own heart here this morning is in Philippians 3:12. It says, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection." So I hope you hear that. I hope you understand that we are all in this journey together. And as I preach this message this morning, I just want to lay that foundation right off the bat. Is that I'm not saying these things as if I've already reached this perfection, but I want to lay this out to you. This is, you know, a liberating conclusion. As we're going to look in Philippians 3, if you would, if you got have your Bibles with you, if you turn with me to Philippians 3. We want to unpack this liberating conclusion that Paul experienced in Philippians, as we see this on his journey from the road to Damascus and his experience with the Lord. But I just want to drop this one thing to you. It only takes one moment of exposure to God's kingdom to correct a lifetime of wrong exposure. One moment. And I just listed some examples here. The woman at the well, the paralytic man at the pool, the Bethesda, the lame beggar at the beautiful gate, right? The demonized man in the cemetery, the woman touching Jesus' robe in the crowd, and then Paul on the road to Damascus. And each one of these, you may be familiar with these stories, but each one of these, there was liberating. There was things that transpired. There was an experience with God. There was an experience with Jesus and the fullness of his kingdom that was liberating for the people involved. And Paul, the reason I wanted to cover Philippians 3 is because Paul's experience was much more documented than these others. Right, and so we can see just a little bit about this journey and what we're all called to as well. And so, if you would turn to me of Philippians 3, I'm just going to read. And as I read, I just want us to think about this Paul's extraordinary faith, and there was a fuel behind that faith, and we're going to cover that this morning. But I'm going to start. I'm just going to start out in verse 7. And I have to put my readers on here. In verse 7, but just to give you a little context, Paul, you know, starting out in chapter 3, Paul had experienced legalism. He experienced religion. He said, "Hey, if anyone has any reason to be confident in my own efforts, it's me. Because, look, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm, you know, as a Pharisee, I can do no wrong. You know, as far as righteousness, I obey the law," on and on and on, right? And so Paul lays that out for us. And then in verse 7, where I'm going to pick up and read through here, Paul says, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, discounting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead." Verse 12, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life, this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Amen. Amen. What is fueling you? As we look at Paul's life, there was this incredible fueling within him that was driving him to want to know Christ and the resurrection power that raised him. And on his journey on the road to Damascus with his experience with Christ, there was something that completely, he, as we sang earlier, let's let it go. He completely let go all these things of his past, all these things that he once thought were valuable, but now he sees them as garbage. There was nothing in his life where he was holding on still to those things. You don't see where he's saying, well, I'm still thinking about, my journey with the Pharisees. I'm still thinking about, my own righteousness, and I'm trying to walk in that righteousness. But while I'm also exploring over here with what Jesus is saying and what he's offered me and shown to me on this road and experience. Do you see that? Do you hear that? That there's we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, chasing and pursuing God and all his fullness and what he's giving to us, if we're still hanging on and having this anchor. And so what we want to do as we work through this morning, let our hearts be open. Let our hearts be open to what we may be holding on to. And when the Spirit illuminates that to us, let's be real about it and let's address it. And this go for this freedom that God has promised to us. Amen? Amen. There's no more time. We have no more time in this world. Our life is but a vapor. We have no more time for a worldly focus. God is calling us to this heavenly prize, this kingdom focus that he wants us to walk in. Amen? Amen. To know Christ is to know perfection. Not that I have reached it myself, but I know that perfection in Christ. I see that. I've seen that. We need to come to an agreement with that, right? So Paul pressed on towards the goal of knowing this perfection, right? Let me read this verse 12 again. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess this perfection. I want to give you an example of a race, all right? Just try to have this image of a race. And I came up with these two phrases. One is the garbage route, and one is the race route. Okay? And I feel like so often we're on this garbage route. We're going around, we're picking up this garbage. Look what I did in my past. I did this, I did that and the other, and I'm holding on to that garbage route. Or maybe I'm pursuing something in this world that's, as Paul describes, is just garbage, right? It's just garbage now to him. He sees that. But sometimes we get sucked into that, and we're grabbing onto this garbage, but God is calling us to a race route. All right, it's just stretching out. It's just stretching out to the finish, with an excitement and a joy to receive that heavenly prize. Amen. He says, "I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." God's grace is more than sufficient. It's more than sufficient to cover our past. See, Paul, he understood his past. Now, we all know we can't just forget our past. I have a past that I look at all the time and say, "Oh Lord, thank you for thank you, Lord, for redeeming me from that. Amen. Thank you. We look at Jesus. Jesus is the one we look at. And that's what Paul is doing here. He said, hey, yeah, look at the things. He gives us a list of the things in the start of chapter 3, the list of the things that he used to do. And he says those are now, they're no longer of value. They're garbage to me because I see the grace that Jesus has given me to overcome those things and to walk in his promises. Amen? So, the garbage route. You know, you could throw all kinds of comparisons or analogies in there. The mall route, you know, we walk around into the mall, we buy this thing or this thing, it's going to make us do something better, it's going to make us feel better. Go to the grocery store, we're going to grab a gallon of ice cream or something, you know, when we're feeling down. All these things, right? But the race route. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 10. It says, to know Christ and his resurrection power. Verse 10 and 11. Verse 13 and 14, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And verse 20 and 21, but we are citizens of heaven. We are foreigners in this land. Amen? We are foreigners in this land. And foreigners, think about this. Immigration is a hot topic right now, right? So we look at immigrants and we know when someone, we live in a tourist town. Let's just use that for example. We live in a tourist town and we know when a tourist comes in, right? We may have many in here this morning. They may speak a different language because we have people from all over the world come here. And so they stick out. They look like they don't belong sometimes, right? When they come into town. I see the attitude of many people in our society where, oh, the tourists are coming, or this, that, and the other. Now, some really enjoy it, and I really enjoy it. But some people in our town get, you know, they feel like their powder stash is going to get taken. Okay? Their powder stash is going to get taken, or they're going to have to wait an extra 30 seconds in line to get their favorite coffee. All right? But look, it's truth. The truth is we stick out, right? If I go to a foreign land, I stick out. Steve and Bob just got back from India. I'm pretty sure Steve stuck out in India. All right? Can you guys visualize that? So as followers of Christ, we are supposed to look like a foreigner. We are not supposed to look like the world and the other people in this world who are not following Christ. So there's a radical difference. Paul was willing in his life, he was willing to look so radically different. And whether he got drug out into the street, stoned to death, his disciples came, laid hands on, raised him up again. He went right back into the same town again, preaching the word. Who does that? Okay? He's in prison with Silas, right? And he's singing and worshiping God. If it was me, I might think, man, how, Lord, get me out of here. How am I going to get out of this place? Let me devise a way. Give me a little rock knife or rock hammer or something and start chiseling my way out of here. Like Shawshank. Right? But no, they're worshiping God. And what does God do? He shakes the prison. The jail cell's open. They come out, and I would have probably hightailed it out, you know, find my way out so the stuff doesn't come down on top of me. And also, just I'm ready to get out of here, right? These people have been beating me. But no, they stay, and they actually go and minister to the prison guard and bring him to Christ. Okay? That is different. That's a foreigner mentality, is it not? And so, his ways. I kind of skipped ahead on this slide, but in verse 19, I want to back up. If you can back up, there you go. His ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. If my thoughts and ways are what I have faith in, then I am in trouble. I am in trouble. Okay? This race route that he is calling us to, it is outlined and is given to us by his ways. He is revealing them to us in this message of hearing God's voice. That's part of it, is that he directs us on this race course, right? And verse 19, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite, and they brag about shameful things. They think only about this life here on earth. Where is our mind? What are our thoughts? And are we only thinking about my issues of today or what might happen tomorrow? Am I thinking about the things here on this earth? Or am I looking towards the heavenly prize? Jesus, come now. Oh, Lord, even so, come, as we just sang, Lord, come. You know, your bride will be ready. That is what we are supposed to be engaging in, is preparing ourselves for his return, which is what Paul is explaining here, is that, look, I haven't achieved it yet, but I'm pressing on towards this goal of receiving this heavenly prize, right? Are you with me? This is not a litmus test. You know, as I read these three things, it's not a litmus test. You know, in other words, you don't have to qualify for all three of those to be heading in the wrong direction. It could just be one, okay? It could just be one. And it could be, you know, these things give us a kind of an outline and a look sometimes of where am I? You know, one of the things that Scripture tells us is to always analyze ourselves, look at ourselves honestly. What is going on? Not this numbness to the things around us, which our society likes to do, is numb everything. It's not this numbness, but a real authentic look in exposing what is in me and where I am headed. All right? I don't want the garbage route. I want the race route. Okay? Much more glorious, isn't it? You want to cross the finish line with a bunch of trash in your pockets and backpack full of trinkets? Or do you want to cross it with just your last breath, last ounce of energy, stretching out? Maybe even you fall and get scraped up as you cross the finish line. Okay, that's the image that Paul is giving us. And you know, if we're struggling with our faith, let me just address that for a second. If we're struggling with our faith, maybe it's misguided or misdirected. Maybe there's something that's misguiding us or misdirecting us, which we're kind of discussing here. Or maybe we don't have it at all. Maybe we don't have it at all. And I think one of the things that is troubling sometimes is when you say to someone, well, maybe you need more faith. And I'm just being candid with you. Jesus told his disciples, oh, ye of little faith. Okay? These are guys that are walking with Jesus. That it's possible that we could have that as well sometimes. Okay? We need to get to reality and not be offended by that statement. It's like, well, maybe I don't. Maybe I need to press in for this. And maybe I need to ask God to give me more faith, give me a greater measure of faith. Or maybe I need someone around me that has more faith that can walk with me and help me along this race course. Right? This is all about discipleship. This is all about what we want to be journeying with other men and women in this race. You can't do it alone. Okay? Think about when you guys would go out and do a long race, any of the racers out there, you have a swag, or what do you call it, a swag wagon? Sack, okay. So you got a support team coming along with you, with food, water, resources, all these things, extra clothes, and everything, right? So that's the same with us. We want to have someone along with us, encouraging us, right? And so Hebrews 12:2 tells us, keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Okay, not the world. What we're seeing here is, what we're covering is a liberating experience, a liberating conclusion that Paul had, was that he was able to take his eyes off the world. You couldn't suppress this guy even in a jail cell or beating him to death. You couldn't suppress him. He didn't have his eyes on the world. He had his eyes on Jesus. And when we do that, it's liberating. Romans 12:2, being renewed, being transformed. My mind being transformed, right? We covered the verse 320, the next slide, just about not being citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven, right? We're foreigners in this land. And eagerly waiting for him to return as a Savior. So Paul had his focus elsewhere, right? Do you see that? Paul's focus was not like others in this world. And man, I love this quote from the NLT, New Spirit-Filled Bible, Kingdom Dynamics on this. And I just took a quote out of here. It says that he was freed from the stagnation of yesterday's victories and emotional paralysis of yesterday's mistakes. He was freed from it. The mistakes were still there, but he was freed from it. Think about this for a second. You know, a lot of times we only talk about our mistakes, but also the victories can keep us back. You know, I had a funny thought coming up this morning, just thinking about, you know, a lot of times, for those of you who played high school sports, you know the term glory days. So sometimes you go back and you think about these glory days, right? Well, sometimes those glory days can keep us from progressing along this race route, right? Because that's where we say, well, man, back in the day, I used to be this or that. You know, I used to have this time. You know, but that is such a worldly focus that will keep us in bondage to progressing to a higher calling that God is calling us to, a heavenly prize. Amen. And then this quote of, he was a lover of God, not a user of God. I had to gut check on that one. Some conviction came upon me that, okay, I know that I've been a user of God. I know that we all have at some time or another. But when we see this shift, we see this transformation of, I want to be a lover of God, which is a characteristic that Paul showed so clearly in this, is I love God. I do this for God's sake, not for my own. I do this for Jesus' sake, not for my own. Okay? Not for my own. This is selfishness that is a worldly thing that wells up within us. I want to turn real quick to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. I'm going to read it to you. It says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. They are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Now, I've kind of broken these down in verse 16 for you, that for the Lord offers only a craving for physical pleasure. That's hedonism, okay? You can see these things, and it's so important that we look at the scriptures and say, and analyze our own heart and our own self to say, where am I with this? Am I only craving physical pleasure? Again, this is not that your whole life is just, that's all you're doing, but if there's any ounce of that in there, let's get that out. A craving for everything we see, materialism, all right, is so prevalent in our world. That is what the world offers you. These are worldly offers, all right? These are not from God, okay? And then a pride in our achievements and possessions. Egotism. It was just a pride in all that we've done, my glory days. Why, there was some pride there. I can look back at that and see, you know, captain of this team, I don't want to even go there. I won't even go there. See, there's the flesh right there, just the temptation to even go there. Explain that, but you get what I'm talking about. This life he's called us to is real, right? This life he has called us to is real. And there's no time or space for a worldly focus. 1 Peter 1 Peter, this is the upward call for us to be stewards of God's grace. 1 Peter 4, verse 2 says, So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions. All right? The reality is we have to live in this flesh until Jesus returns or until we die. Right? So this is saying no longer. All right? Am I living the rest of the time in the flesh for human passions, but for the will of God? Amen? So, look, I look at Paul, and Paul was one of the most ferocious persecutors of the Christians. You know that he authorized the killing of Christians. He was chasing Christians down. If God can turn the fiercest opponent of the Lord into his most willing servant, he has the ability to save anyone. Right? Anyone in this room, including myself, if God can take and do this with Paul, and we've seen it with many others in Scripture, but he can do it with anyone in this room. If you feel like the garbage route that you have been on, if you're there, is insurmountable or unable to overcome that, then that is a lie. That is a lie. Jesus came, we want to focus on what Jesus came to do to set us free to this abundant life, right? Abundant life here on this earth, that we would be witnesses empowered by His Spirit to transform people's hearts. To transform people's hearts. That is what is at stake. It's not, hey, I want Aspen to become this euphoria, okay? This beautiful place where we come and there's no sickness, there's no crime, there's plenty of money. We all have a big mansion, all right? That's not it. That's garbage. All of it is garbage, okay? And so, as we close, I'm just going to want to invite Derek and the team to come on back up, and we're going to have some ministry time. And I've just listed a few things here. Again, it only takes one moment of exposure to God's kingdom. Is that how you come to church? Do you expect to have a moment, an encounter with God that will transform you? And experience the kingdom fullness of when you come to church, or even participate. That's what we're really called to do, is to participate in it. Not only experience it for myself, to come be a user of God. I want to come and be a lover of God. How can I be used as a person that God has called to experience the kingdom fullness, a Holy Spirit filling? Okay? Some may have been rejecting this. Maybe you've grown up in a legalistic church or upbringing. There's no more time for that. There's no more time for that. And there's healing that God will bring and meet you in a moment, in an instant, to redeem you, to restore you, to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to empower you to do these things. It's not a... You see, when we think about these things in a worldly mindset and in the flesh, then it seems kind of daunting, doesn't it? I was like, well, I've got to push through. I've got to do this. I have to muster up my thoughts and make these thoughts well. I have to muster up faith to go pray for this person. Faith is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It is free, and God will pour it out. He will not withhold this gift from his children. Amen? Amen? So, a prophetic culture. You know, do you press on? The Scriptures tell us to. Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts, especially to prophesy. Especially to prophesy. He desires his church to be a prophetic culture. When you come in, you hear a prophetic word, and there's healing, there's restoration, in an instant there's transformation. You don't need to go through this long program to get healing. God can bring it in an instant. That is His desire. Okay? Seek to know him and his resurrection power. I was kind of shocked. I was talking to Steve a few weeks back, and actually it was in one of the E4, in our E4 leadership class that we had in here. Well, we just finished up. And he was talking about a focus filter. And I realized that I never really had a focus filter. Like, everything that I'm doing, do I pass it through this focus filter? And some of these things, like I've listed up here, are one of my focus filters now. Is that, well, does it fit within this focus filter? And it's so powerful, but so really simple to say, when I'm making a decision, does it fit within this focus filter? Does it fit within... And all of us are going to have different focus filters in different seasons. They may change, all right? And sometimes you may have a focus filter that lasts a lifetime, and you've got little sub-focus filters, okay? But we have to pass things through the focus filter. And we have to say, is this what God wants me to do? Does this fit within experiencing his kingdom fullness? Am I believing that I'm not capable to go pray for healing for that person? When the Holy Spirit convicts you that I want you to go pray for that person right there. Do you sit back and curl back? I've done this. Do you sit back and curl back and say, well, I don't know. I don't really know what to say, or it might sound weird, but that's his, experiencing his kingdom fullness, is that when you step out like that and he uses you beyond your flesh, okay? That is exciting. All right? Awesome. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, God, for reminding us that it's about you. And Lord, that you give us the strength to pull us out of a worldly mindset, Lord, a worldly focus that it will yield nothing but garbage. And Lord, I know that there's some in here this morning. Lord, I have areas in my own life that need healing of this, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this time, that this word, Lord God, that your Spirit would fill us here in this room, God, bring conviction. Lord, there's no more time to waste, Lord. We ask you, Lord, with an urgent plea, God, just to come and lift us, Lord. Lift us up, Lord. Give us the power, Lord, to let it go. Lord, may we let it go here this morning, God. I pray that no one walks out of here without letting it go and looking to you. Some have been hurt. Some have been hurt in this room by religion. Some may even be pursuing religion. Lord, we pray that you would come and reveal yourself to us like you did to Paul. Lord, I pray for a Damascus Road experience here this morning, God, that is undeniable. By even the sharpest critic, we desire to be a church that is on fire for you, pursuing you, God. Not the ways of the world. Thank you, Lord. praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.